Well, very appropriate for as we remember a special man, if you will, a patriarch, if we have such a thing for this church family, Vic, and honor the Savior that allows us to do and be who we are so we can have hope in the midst of this. And if you know Vic, remember Vic? I mean, he, the chief, old chief, the old school. He was back when they had three stripes down here and only two up top. How many Air Force veterans in here? Hands up, way up, come on. All right, well, Air Force, go Air Force. All right, off we go. No. But the Air Force core values, to me, are pictured. This is what I used to teach down at the academy. But integrity first, service before self, and excellence in all we do. That's what the Air Force, when they aim high, fly, fight, wing. But I love those core values because they personify what we as Christians ought to be. And I would submit for all of us who know and love Vic and his family, they personify Vic, a man of integrity. How many of you ever did business with Vic buying trailers, things like that? I mean, he told me stories about old school, your handshake was your bond, and he would drive across country to pick up and deliver. He was a man of integrity in business. Service, obviously, in a business, serving in this church. There are many things we can't imagine. This building is a monument, if you will, to Vic's vision and perseverance. And some of us, fewer and fewer, the original group that came. And so what a nice building we have for the body of Christ. We are the church to meet in. But Vic was instrumental in that, in excellence. He wanted to do things with excellence, as we all ultimately should be for our Savior. And when it comes to, I remember hearing, and I have a cousin who's in the building business and prides himself. And if you go look at that wall, you said, John, maybe you were the one telling me about the wall in the hallway. It's straight. Look at some of the walls maybe in your houses where there'll be gentle curves. It's close enough. That wall's straight. I imagine Vic was part of that, and I imagine John was part of that too. But folks, this is serving. Vic knew how to serve. And the idea of then protection is where we're going to be going here in Psalm 91. So I encourage you to open up your Bible right after Psalm 90. But dedicated to the protecting. All those years, Carol, how many years was Dad in the Air Force? 30 years. So chief, top E9. Top enlisted, I mean, those of us that were officers, you don't mess with chiefs. I knew where the power lay. And good, what's that? Yeah, don't mess with chiefs. Yeah, and so, but the protecting, so he protected his country for 30 years in the military. He protected his family, trying to be his dad, and we all make mistakes, but taking care of family and Carol and Kathy and what they went on to do with their lives. And then, of course, in business. Protecting that business, and I came here, 9 years ago, where he still owned the Hitchin Post down here, and that's where the church began. And then protecting the church. He and I had some good conversations, and, you know, I had to be a pastor this is a nice building, but it's a building. It's not the church. But he was rightfully proud of this building built ultimately for people to come worship the glory of God. And so the idea of aim high, the Air Force motto, Vic did that as a human being. And I would like to propose today, as we look at Psalm 91, that then ultimately the Savior, ultimately that integrity, service, and excellence of our Savior. So Psalm 91, if you're there, I'm just going to give, if you will, a running, just going to read it and make a few comments as we go through. Titled, In the Shelter of the Most High, the Protection of God. And in our culture, our world, with all the stuff on the news, with deaths and suicides and all the stuff, aren't you glad that we are in the hand, the right, strong right hand as God's children of the Creator of the universe? Folks, that gives me hope, because imagine going through life hopeless. But we have hope because of the shelter of the Most High. So couple verses of Psalm 91, there's a, if you will, an invitation for God's people to come to him for protection. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, there's some very descriptive names of God, El Elyon, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, El Shaddai, God Almighty. I will say of the Lord Yahweh, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. Folks, whatever's going on in your life, in the Keaton's family lives, we can take refuge in God. And that person, my God, I hope He is your God. In Him I will trust, even when the world is falling apart around us. And just that He is the Almighty, He is Yahweh, that covenant name of God, a God who loves His people and keeps covenant with His people, even when we don't keep covenant. That's been part of our message of Hosea. And finding a refuge, we could appreciate the craggy mountains and the refuge up here, but ultimately it is to be found in God. And what are some of the forms of that protection? Look at verses 3 through 8. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler, the world, the people trying to snare, trap birds, the dangers out there, and from the, my translation, the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. Think of a mother hen or an eagle covering, protecting their young. His truth or faithfulness shall be your shield and your buckler, the weapons of war. God, spiritual weapons, the armor of God, folks, in a spirit, the reality of spiritual battle and spiritual darkness in our world. Our weapons, human weapons, military, economy, CDC, don't protect us ultimately from the real danger in this world, but that is what God is, that mighty shield. You shall not be afraid. Notice the day, night. You shall not be afraid of terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence, the diseases that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. And so poetic language about the security ultimately we have. Bad stuff happens in this world. Bad stuff happens to Christians in this world. And so this is looking at reality with eternal eyes, folks. And that's hard because sometimes we focus on the pit we are wallowing in. But the psalmist here, some ascribe this to David, we don't ultimately know, but look at what King David went through in his life, the emotional ups and downs. But ultimately he came back to, but you know what? I'm ultimately secure in You. And folks, I can go through an awful lot in my life knowing that no matter how bad I make it and how deep the hole is that I dig for myself, I'm secure in God's hands. And that's encouraging. And then we're back now in verses 9 and 10 to inviting us to look for that protection in God. Because You have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, Your habitation. So God, the Yahweh, covenant Lord, the Most High, Almighty, because You are habitating, dwelling in Him, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. Now, once again, this is not literalistic. Bad stuff happens in this temporal fallen world, but the ultimate destiny, we are secure in the refuge of the world. And that ultimate evil of spiritual death, folks, in the Lord, in Christ, is something we can look forward to. Because once again, the protection, verses 11 through 13, for He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. They shall bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Once again, what picture's language, but the reality of angels. See, there's something that our world, we're too smart in this world to think of the unseen, but God's angels. In fact, this was, do you remember Jesus being tempted, tested by Satan? And Satan took Him up on the temple and said, throw yourself off. Show everybody how wonderful You are, Jesus said, because Satan misquoted this, if you will. Are they not the angels from Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14? Are those angels, they will protect you and keep you from stumbling? They are ministering spirits, the writer to Hebrews says, sent forth to minister to those who will inherit salvation. And Jesus says, don't tempt the Lord. This is not what their purpose is, but the idea of the reality of angels watching over his people. Now, I suspect some of us probably need a few more angels than some of us to keep us out of trouble. But aren't you glad God does have all things under control? And then the last couple verses, verses 14 through 16, if you will, a declaration of ultimate salvation. And that's the hope we can take as children of God. Because he has set his love upon me. God, this is God talking. Therefore, I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name, says God. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble and I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation, my Yeshua, Jesus. God's salvation is Jesus in the Greek name of Yahshua. And so the idea of ultimate salvation in Christ on those, do you love the Lord? Do you know his name? Have you called upon him? And that's a message for all of us in the midst of the death of family members and in our lives now. And so concluding this, if you will, the ultimate, when we talk about God's salvation through Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, 1 Corinthians 15, Paul tells us what that gospel message is, the good news of the reality of sin and darkness, this world, and our lives B.C., before Christ, but the salvation that can be found through Christ, that protection under the wings of the shadow of the Almighty. 1 Corinthians 15, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which you also received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all, first priority, that which I also received. Paul didn't make this up. Christianity didn't make this up. This is God's good news. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried, and then he rose again the third day according to the scripture. And he was seen by Peter and then the 12 and over 500 eyewitnesses after that. Folks, the good news, the reality in history, during the time of the Roman Empire, for those of you in the empire study, what Jesus did on our behalf so that we can have that eternal security. Because like Paul says in Romans, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You know, Vic's a pretty nice guy, but Vic's a sinner, saved by grace, just like us in Christ, if we believe. And so the idea of all being sinners. And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so when death occurs, folks, we as Christians, we mourn, we grieve, we pray for the family, we're going to miss Vic. But we can ultimately rejoice because from the enemy, that last death that is conquered later on in 1 Corinthians 15, but that can become a very powerful preaching point. And so at Vic's memorial, that'll be a lot of pomp and circumstance with the military. Once again, as we remember a life, but praise the Savior and what he has done. That is a time for proclaiming the good news because people's hearts sometimes are more tender when they're confronted with the reality of death in this fallen world. And so ultimately, like we sang, whose favorite song was that? Victory in Jesus? But victory in Jesus. We can have victory because of what Christ has done. And he died for us, if you are a Christian. Died on our behalf, which is why we praise him. Knowing that our final destination, like John says in Revelation, the new heaven and the new earth, no tears, no pain. Folks, that is something we all can look forward to. But the psalmist said, maybe 70 years, maybe 80 years, maybe 89 years, maybe 91 years. Folks, this life is fleeting like the grass that withers and passes away, eternity in Christ. And that, for me, and I hope for you, in the midst of our grieving and remembering a wonderful man, that keeps me singing like we sang, that we can have that victory in Jesus and have that subspecies eternitatis under the auspices of eternity. We can have that eternal perspective. Aim high. Vic Keaton, Aim High, Community Fellowship of Christians. Let's pray. Lord and Master, you are touched with the feeling of our sorrows. Fulfill your promise that you will not leave your people comfortless, but will come to them. Reveal your tender love and grace to your grieving servants, and cause them to hear you say, "I am the resurrection and the life." Help them, O Lord, to turn to you in true faith, that finding now the comfort of your presence, they may also have a sure confidence in you for all that is to come, until the day breaks and these shadows flee away. In your name, O Lord our God and Savior, we pray. Amen. Amen.